we're talking about here is demeaning and abusive language towards women because of their gender. In my opinion, that's every bit as distasteful and as unacceptable as racist and homophobic remarks. The comments that he made, they didn't address the substance of her article. They didn't address the substance of the criticism. They were just abusive and demeaning to her as a woman because she was a woman. People like Kyle Sandilands are being paid very well to abuse and to humiliate people in order to get ratings. That's what the name of the game here is. It's about ratings. It's about the commercial benefit of a commercial radio station. And I think that, you know, morally and ethically, it raises a whole bunch of questions about the way we regulate the media in this country.
And I think, and we can talk about that, and ACMA, or the Australian Communications and Media Authority, in a moment. Just sticking with ordinary people and their response to this. In the SMH article, there was a poll at the bottom. At 8 o'clock this morning, there were 211 votes. 8% saying they think he's robust and should continue. 22% say he's offensive and should go. 70% said they don't care. And don't listen or pay attention to him. The Vile Kyle hashtag on Twitter has been trending now for the second day, including a petition to get rid of him. Does this say that ordinary people have had enough of Kyle Sandilands, and that in terms of backlash or recourse, that social media like Twitter can have an immediate effect?
Well, I think you need to separate out the two parts of the question. I think the first thing to say is that the Kyle and Jackie O show remains very popular. It's one of the most popular shows on FM radio in Australia. So they still have an audience, clearly, that are satisfied with the sort of content that they're putting to air. The second thing to note is that an online poll is not a very rigorous way to gauge public opinion. And the third point I'd make is that I don't think we need to have a public opinion contest about whether this kind of thing is acceptable or not. I don't think we need to worry about gauging the public's perspective on these issues. I think that as a commentator, someone like me can simply make a moral judgment and say that I think in this case this is wrong.
And as you say, it is a incredibly popular, I think it's Australia's most popular breakfast show. And on ACMA, since 2009, I should say this is not an isolated incident. As most people would know, there have been a range of complaints and incidents that have been reported by Media Watch and also investigated by ACMA. Since 2009, ACMA has processed, I think, six investigations on the Kyle and Jackie O show. Only one attracted a finding of the show or the broadcast having breached the code. ACMA say they can take formal legal action that can lead to fines, but this is rare. Often broadcasters go back to business as usual straight after ACMA has found them to be in breach of the code. What does this say about ACMA?
It says that ACMA is the paper tiger as a regulator. ACMA is the lightest of light touches. Not only does it take months and even years for ACMA to conduct investigations, when it concludes its investigations, the findings that it finds are often, I think, outrageously out of step. For example, the recent outing of former New South Wales Minister David Campbell for visiting a gay sex club, that was the subject of a complaint to ACMA. ACMA ruled that that was in the public interest. So you can see that when it comes to abuses of media power and the invasions of privacy of ordinary citizens or even indeed public figures, ACMA takes a very light touch. And I think it really needs to be looked at in the media inquiry that's going on at the moment. We need to strengthen these regulations because they're not working.
And I think that example indeed is poignant. There's also the other example of the ACMA ruling where recently, yesterday or the day before, they ruled that Alan Jones had acted in broadcast in breach of the code when he did not, according to ACMA, cover enough points of view in relation to the topic of native vegetation laws or land clearing in New South Wales. Now, the outcome was that, as I said, that Jones had breached the code. But all that ACMA are really doing there is reminding the licensee of their obligations. And as I said before, and I think as commented on by an Australian media writer, Jones will be back to business as usual.
Of course he will. Of course he will. And the point here is not that Jones should not be allowed to present his own opinion. The point here is that Jones presents his opinion to the exclusion of other opinions, often to the exclusion of demonstrated facts. And that, worse than that, the radio station that he works for also doesn't put a range of views to its viewers. And for example, you're not going to hear on 2GB anyone who's going to advance the line that, for example, climate change is real and that we should do something about it. That's not a view that you'll hear on that network. Now, it says in their license conditions that they must represent a range of views when they are of topical and media interest. They're obviously not doing that. But really, it's just a slap on the wrist, isn't it?
And I'm hearing what you're saying there, Ben, that these reminders and the associated shame are not enough. And specifically in terms of, the media inquiry and how we might strengthen ACMA, what about, do you think they should be working faster to process complaints and be deploying harsher penalties for repeat offenders?
Of course they should. They should be working faster. They have issues of natural justice in which they have to investigate in a fair and judiciously appropriate manner. So there is that hold up in terms of their investigations, but they probably could be better funded. And I think where people are found to have breached their license conditions, there should be some serious fines handed out, serious revoking perhaps of privileges. You know, like in the end, they don't get this this privilege to broadcast to the Australian public for free. They actually are given that. They're given very rare and valuable radio spectrum. So I don't think we'll see any movement on this until the penalties for abuses actually start to really hurt some of these radio stations. And perhaps, for example, if they were taken off air for a week, that might really hurt them.